was calling Bryce Harper homers into perpetuity, the smartest thing that anyone has ever done in the history of the universe. That and more in the Friday, September 17th edition of Leading Off. And we will start with that, Mr. Mike Mayer.
Good morning, Tuma. How are you? It's definitely the smartest thing Joe Pisapia has ever done. I can say that.
It is. It's really getting to the point where I'm so invested in this now. When Harper was homering last night, I wasn't thinking of my own fantasy leagues or even the impact it will have on the Phillies. I was thinking of the home run chase between the Leading Off family and the Peanuts and the Cracker Jacks and everyone.
Same. I have Harper in a couple leagues, and it's so bittersweet whenever he does homer now, because all I can think of is just Joe enjoying it at home while he just doesn't do any work and just benefits from Harper homering every night.
I think of it as Joe hanging out at home watching football and then sees the tweet that I tagged in him and then being like, oh, Harper homered. I wonder how I'm doing in the tournament, and not even fully realizing. So we will start with Bryce Harper today. Again, similar to when we talk about these superstar studs, there isn't a ton of fantasy takeaway, but we still need to acknowledge what's happening. Bryce Harper last night, 3-for-4 with a homer, 2 doubles, 4 RBIs, a pair of walks. I looked it up this morning. Latest odds at FanDuel Sportsbook. Tatis is, a little surprisingly, still minus 210, and Harper is plus 260 for NL MVP.
That is surprising. Is Harper in second, firmly behind Tatis?
Yes.
Got to be, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, it's one of those things where like both the Padres and the Phillies are kind of fighting for a wild card spot, so there's not really a playoff thing. I mean, we're going to get to Tatis later on in the show because he had a great game as well, and he's up to 39 homers and 25 stolen bases, which is insane in its own right, but I don't know, there's something about, for me, I try not to get caught up in the moment with this stuff, but like Harper going nuts in September towards the end of the season, I think sometimes maybe should add a little more weight to the MVP debate.
Yeah, I think, and I think it will, it normally will, but it's also, like you said, like team dependent. Like if one of these teams goes on a run and gets into the playoffs, that player is probably going to be the one who gets the MVP, kind of like tiebreaker there.
Yeah. And you're a Philly guy, or you at least have ties to Philly sports. I was thinking about this with Harper. This is more just like baseball general as a whole, but how do Phillies fans view him at this point? Because it was obviously a monster contract. The team hasn't quite performed up to par since they signed it, but he's kind of holding his end of the bargain, it seems.
I think it's still a mix just with like Philly fans and stuff, but I think it's more positive than not, especially when they look at like what he's done compared to like what the team has done. I think they realize more it's the team letting them down than Harper letting them down. You know, you'll hear the grumblings if he goes cold for a while and the Phillies kind of stink, but I think for the most part, the Philly fans are very happy with Harper and the contract and the production so far.
Sounds like Joe P. Pisa does know what's going on. I have not been yet on Discord this morning, but it sounds like he posted a picture of Hijo, so not be named. Some other players going nuts as of late. Salvador Perez did it. He tied Johnny Bench for the single season home run record for a catcher. And this is just so funny to me because this is going to be a great trivia question. I was asking some of my buddies this past weekend who don't necessarily keep up with baseball the way I do. I was like, there's a catcher right now who is about to break the record for his position in a single season. Who is it? And like, no one knew. So I don't know. Good for Salvador Perez. He's up to 45 homers on the season, including yesterday. The Royals have played 146 games and Salvador Perez has played in 145 of them. That is insane.
That is insane. And I'm old enough to remember, I think maybe 2 months ago, when you asked Dan Harris if Salvador Perez was the catcher one next season, and he said he's still going with Real Muto.
Yes, and I do wonder if that's changed now. The thing with Perez is like his counting stats compared to the other catchers. Like he has over 40 more RBIs than the next closest catcher. That playing time is so crazy. I can't like that is so insane. And I'm rambling.
My question now is, what happened that other day that he didn't play?
Yeah, I do remember that. I think it was the day before the All-Star break. He was going to be on the bench because they did a blurb for it for Fantasy Pros, but then that game got rained out, so it was like, oh, the streak continues. In terms of next year, like, yeah, I think everyone's going to have to rank Perez as, the catcher one. I think it'll become more about fading him at overall ADP.
Yeah, and it'll be really interesting, especially because he had kind of been trending the wrong way, but those numbers from the catcher position, like his price is going to be through the roof just because of the potential for, the rest of production at catcher is so bad. So to be able to get 40 something home runs from that position is ridiculous. So people are going to pay up for him in drafts for sure.
Yeah. Alex Bregman, since returning in 75 plate appearances, he's now hitting 379, 440, 561. He went 2 for 5 with a walk and a season high 4 RBIs on Thursday. This is kind of the theme of today's show. I was doing a lot of research on how some players are performing since returning from injury, and we just kind of lose sight of them. But Bregman has been rock solid, exactly what you would want it out of where you drafted him.
Yeah, and I'm sure all the people who were getting very frustrated waiting for him to finally return are happy now.
Hopefully so. A couple players, again, sticking with that theme, who have returned from injury but aren't doing so hot. The number one to me is Eloy Jimenez, who went 1 for 4 with 2 strikeouts on Thursday. And his season stats aren't, it's not like horrible. He's hitting 258 with a 767 OPS. Obviously, he was coming back from a major injury. He was someone who entered yesterday. I hadn't fully thought about in a while. I don't employ him on any teams, and just checking the stats, I was like, oh, that's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I only have him in one deeper league, and I actually have him in that league. I don't even think I drafted him. I think someone dropped him in a really deep league as soon as he got hurt, and I was like, I'll stash him for 3 months and hope for the best. And luckily, my team is struggling otherwise, so it doesn't really matter that he's not doing that well. So he's an auto start for me either way. But yeah, pretty disappointing, but not all that unexpected, like you said.
This player wasn't hurt at any point this year, but just someone who has been struggling for a while now, which I think has flown under the radar. And that's Trent Grisham, who went 1 for 3 with 2 strikeouts on Thursday. In the second half, it's been 294 plate appearances, so the sample size is adding up, and he's hitting just 196, and it's only with 3 homers and 3 steals, so he's not like fully saving you there. And he got off to a great start this year, but even overall for the season, he has a 101 WRC plus, so he's basically been league average. And fantasy wise, hitting 240 with 14 homers and 11 steals is fine, but that's like waiver wire production to me. That is not, he has not been who we drafted him as overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I have any shares outside of one keeper league, but yeah, everything you said. I mean, the enticing thing there is the power speed combo and the potential for that to be a really strong lineup with him hitting near the top of it. But there were also some playing time concerns because stuff, San Diego kind of got a little crowded there, but he's still playing. He's just not producing. And yeah, disappointing.
Yeah, he will be someone whose price will drop in 2022. And then finally, the
Are you
final
going to buy
down.
in with the price? Lower price?
Probably not. He's never been one of my guys personally. And yeah, we'll have to see what happens with Tatis and what position he ends up playing and all that stuff. But I've never been a huge Grisham guy personally. We have a
Fair.
crazy stat alert. The final down of the night was Kyle Hendricks, who got lit up by the Phillies for 7 runs in 3 2/3 innings. Reading this Buster Olney tweet that Mike sent me from Elias, the Cubs are the first team in MLB history to lose twice in a season by 8 or more runs after leading by 7 or more runs. The same
It's
thing happened
insane.
on June 30th when they faced the Brewers.
It's insane. I had to include that stat because, I mean, first time in MLB history, that's insane. And of course, friend of the program, Wonky Penguin, is a Cubs fan. So we have to include those, especially with all the Frank Schwindel talk. We have to talk about the bad Cubs stuff too.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember now if it was you or Dan on when we talked about Hyunjin Ryu, but I honestly, in that league that me, you, and Dan are in together, like I went in with a strategy of like, I'm just going to build the best ERA and whip base with Hendrix and Ryu. And then I'm just going to like stream a bunch of like high K per nine guys. And that strategy really hasn't worked out. Like this season,
how's that
really
going for you?
No, not good. This season really exposed, you know, kind of those, a couple of those soft tossing, you know, low K per nine guys like Hendrix and Ryu. Both of them historically have been extremely undervalued, but this year just, it didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys talked about Ryu the other day and he's just been kind of all over the place. I think he's pitching tonight, but I intentionally didn't include him in the DFS slate because just not going there.
Yeah. Can't trust him. So moving on to some news and notes, Brandon Marsh was hitting leadoff for the first time in his career on Thursday. I don't even think he's like a must pickup necessarily. He's hitting 267 for the season, but since August 12th, this was entering yesterday. Since August 12th, he was hitting 343. And it's the weirdest profile because he's striking out close to 40% of the time. That's insane, but he's hitting 343 and he leads baseball in line drive rate during this time. So like everything for him is either like a line drive single or it's a strikeout. If he's still striking out at that rate, I don't think it could last. I just wanted to know on this. Again, the batting average has been there over the past month.
How deep did you have to dig to put Brandon Marsh into the show?
This is where I'm like yesterday.
We're going line drive percentage.
I was thinking that to myself yesterday. I'm like, I'm spending like 15 minutes going deep on Brandon Marsh first half line drive percent versus second half. And I'm like, you know, I got some other things I got to take care of here, but you know, this is important stuff right now.
You're changing the dates for the splits to where it looks the best. Well, I can't include that date because it'll drop too far. But since August 12th at 7:45 p.m., he's hitting 343.
Yeah, so just something to note. You and I have talked about this has been the season of tracking rookies' progress and hoping to get in at good prices next year. I guess after getting called out, I'll skip the Shane Boz note. But
you have seven notes in there. How are you going to skip this whole page?
Jesse Winker could return from his intercostal strain on Friday. That would be welcomed by fantasy managers. Carlos Rodon, this one hurts. The White Sox came out and said that he's going to have just two more starts during the regular season, one of which will come early next week. I have to figure that means the second one will come early in the second week. But I don't know, we don't have the full picture here, but would you be comfortable starting Rodon?
I think it really depends on your league and your team at this point. I mean, like the White Sox are one of those teams we've been talking about for weeks now, right? With their pitching and just the, you know, the guys with like their injuries and they're just kind of resting guys and they have such a big lead. And so, yeah, I think it really depends. Like if you can definitely line up a start in like a head-to-head playoff matchup, I think you can probably start them. But again, what are you going to get, five innings? Like they're not going to let him throw 100 pitches. And so I think the upside there is limited. If it's Roto, you can, and you really don't need the innings, you can just keep running them out there. But I think if it's redraft, then, you know, you really need some innings and there's like an attractive, like two-start pitcher. I think you can think about making the move at this point.
Yeah. It's getting tough in a lot of leagues with that. Just to note, Rodon between 2019 and 2020 combined, he had 42 and a third innings. He's already up to 124 and a third. And he is looking in hindsight like the ultimate sell high during the first half of the season. Framber Valdez was scratched from Thursday's start against the Rangers due to a small cut on his throwing hand. It sounds like he might not start till Monday now, which hurts for anyone who started him this week. Wander Franco was spotted doing agility drills at Tropicana Field. He could return early next week from his hamstring injury. And remember, he is still riding that 39 game on base streak. And it also sounds like Shane McClanahan could return from the IL on Sunday against the Tigers. You love to see it.
You do. You had to sneak that Wander Franco on base streak in there too. You're getting all your young guys in.
Yeah, Go-Karts here talking about Brandon Marsh must have a crazy BABIP. That's what's so interesting, though, about the line drive rate, because that the line drive rate would suggest that it's more of a skill that he's hitting it hard up the middle and spraying it all over.
Don't encourage him, Go-Karts. Let's just move on.
Okay, so a couple of smaller pitching standouts. Tyler Mahle, six innings, five hits, no runs, four strikeouts. Him on the road this season has a 1.85 ERA. He's up to 192 strikeouts for the year. Like, he's been pretty serviceable. And then Jordan Montgomery, who I know is someone that you've been tracking this season, 5 2/3, 12 strikeouts on Thursday. He has a 2.65 ERA in the second half. do you recommend sticking with Jormont moving forward?
I mean, same thing. Matchup dependent. You know, he's not someone. You know, I should probably look ahead to the schedule before we have these conversations, but I haven't. But you know, I'm probably not starting him against like the Blue Jays. But you know, if it's another favorable matchup, I have him in a couple leagues, and I've just been kind of riding him all year, and he's been like, he's been for me like what he's been for the Yankees, like pretty serviceable, reliable innings, especially with the Yankees. You know, when they were struggling, it kind of stunk, but like when he was pitching well and they were just winning games for him, you know, that was a fun time. And solid numbers in the second half, and really 3.63 ERA for the entire year, like that's fine, especially with more than a strikeout per inning. Like his price was incredibly low in drafts this season, so like that's fine production, especially when you compare it to like other guys that we talked about, like Hendricks and Ryu. If you paid up for them, you're probably hurting, but if you waited for a guy like Montgomery, you're probably feeling a little bit better about that move right now.
I am beginning to get self-conscious about being called out for putting all of my favorite players in the notes section. So I'll need to note that I did add a Ryan Mountcastle note. He set the Orioles rookie home run record on Thursday night with his 29th of the season. It's a continuation of a great second half. Mayor, you must be loving this recent production from Mountcastle.
I am. It's just everyday victory laps over here. Just especially for, you know, the Mountcastle fan club who just kind of held on the beginning of the year, and he was struggling like real bad and it looked really bad and he was just striking out and he looked kind of lost. And I was like, this is going to pass. Let's hang in there. And so there's a group of us on Discord who hung in there and we're all reaping the benefits.
I love the way you describe it. It's like a group of you guys who braved the harsh early reality of what was going on. But speaking of players that we were really excited about, Evan Longoria homered on Thursday. So he came back, did well, but then he was on the COVID IL for a bit. Then he came back again on September 3rd. And since then, he's hitting 310, 421, 621. He doesn't play every single day. That's fine. There is just not that type of bat available on most waiver wires. And then finally, a standout from Thursday, Mike Zunino hit a two-run homer. He's up to 31 for the season. So we were just gushing about Salvador Perez before, but like Mike Zunino for throughout most of the first half, you know, we would get questions, you know, Zunino or Gary Sanchez, Zunino or this guy. And I never like Zunino. We kind of felt like we knew who he was, but 31 homers, if you've had him again, it's been a huge advantage at the catcher position.
Yeah. Even with the lack of batting average, to be able to get 31 home runs from the catcher position is just, you know, you can't find that other than Salvador Perez and, you know, streaming. And so at that position, like, you know, it's just such a dead zone. And so, I mean, if it's the beginning of the year and I told you Mike Zunino is going to hit 180, but hit 35 home runs, would you sign up for that from the catcher position?
Yeah. I mean, oh Jesus, I would have to really look at that, how that shakes out in a roto league. I think so, just because the power production would outweigh it. And at that point, you're kind of morphing your team around batting average. Why would you?
I mean, it would. I think the catch there is like, is he playing Salvador Perez kind of games and really dragging down your average? Or is he hitting 35 home runs in 80 games or 90 games where the batting average drop is not as severe because it's like a part-time player at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, catching. Oh, wrong one. Catching has been interesting. Wonky here asks, where would you rank Will Smith in this group? I think the interesting thing about Will Smith is he was seen as this, you know, big high upside offensive catcher. And as Wonky said, he's been extremely steady this year, but like the huge breakout hasn't happened. But I still think like there's, you know, no matter what, Will Smith should be, I would say, a top three, definitely top four catcher entering next year.
Yeah, I love Will Smith. And we talk about the Dodgers all the time, but my main concern with Will Smith was the Dodgers sitting him too much and just, you know, because that's what they do, especially with catchers. And so, but I have Will Smith in a bunch of dynasty and keeper leagues. I love Will Smith. And I think, especially with, you know, Salvador Perez another year older, Real Muto, you know, continuously kind of banged up and kind of showing some wear and tear in Philadelphia, Will Smith is definitely someone. Especially where, you know, I think his ADP is going to be high, so you're not really going to get a discount on him. But if you want to kind of get in that first tier of catchers, I think Will Smith is he's fine.
Absolutely. We're about to get to some duds which hurt your team, but you always want to make sure that you don't hurt yourself grooming. And that's why you got to use Manscaped and the Lawnmower 4.0, and the new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock created for people who like to travel. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-toned matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Leading Off listeners can get 20% off with free shipping by using the code LEADINGOFF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com.
Great job. Better every day. I like that you kind of stay quiet right after it, so like Dan or I can like congratulate you on how well you did on the Manscaped read.
I got to get back to, for early this week, I had a couple of creative segues. I got to get back to the drawing board on that in between the time I'm spending looking at Brandon Marsh's line drive rate.
Oh, this one was pretty good.
Some duds from Thursday. David Fletcher went 0 for 5. He's hitting 275 with a 647 OPS. Like, I know Fletcher had his moment in the sun earlier this summer, but like that, if he's not hitting, you know, like 330, you just can't survive with that lack of power. So I just, you know, I don't know if anyone's still holding on to David Fletcher, but this is your sign to give up. And then just another one I had to call out, Mike Moustakas, who's, again, another one of these who returned from injuries in 84 plate appearances. He's hitting 162, 202, 288. Both these players, do you have it in you to defend them?
No, I've been anti-David Fletcher, like, pretty much forever, definitely all season. I remember, I forget how long ago it was, but like pretty earlier in the season, you know, one guy would be struggling and then I would get a question like, should I pick up David Fletcher? He's hitting like 3 something. And I was like, no, because who cares? Because like there's such a clear low ceiling there that, like you said, like if he's not hitting 330, like what are we even doing here? So yeah, the fact that he's hitting 275 with nothing else, especially like he usually hits at the top of that lineup, but like even that lineup hasn't been that good without Rendon and, you know, without Trout. And so if he's at the top of that lineup hitting 330 and they have everyone healthy and they're just like crushing scoring runs every night, then you can kind of be interested. But like 275 in a bad lineup with no power, no speed, get out of here.
Yep. Fair. Very fair. Finally, Kevin Gausman gave up 4 runs in 5 innings against the Padres. I think that Kevin Gausman is maybe getting exposed, but the Giants have done a great job with the organization all around. But the thing about Gausman is he was never, you know, this like elite starter. Like, he has some things to work with, but he's still limited. And I don't know, it's led up to a 4.77 second half ERA, which was a lot higher than I thought it was. Like, I was still thinking of Gausman, you know, his ERA was in the ones entering the All-Star break. And I was like, I'll just keep putting him out there. I think I'd just keep using him rest of season at this point, but the second half has been a lot harsher than I realized.
Yeah, and he's always been kind of like a metrics darling, you know? Like, even when, like, a couple of years ago, his numbers like weren't that great, but his underlying numbers were, like, okay, like, very intriguing. And so, like, a lot of, like, the, you know, the people who look deep into, like, StatCast data and stuff like that, they were always in on Gausman, like, often to a fault because it took a while to kind of come to fruition. And then this year was, like, you know, see it all put together, like, you know, some two, I forget which, it was like his fastball and his splitter were like, you know, I did like a StatCast article ranking like the best pitches in baseball, and he had like 2 in the top 5, like of all of baseball. Like, some of the other better, like, best pitchers in baseball had like 1 in the top 15. He had like 2 in the top 5. And so it was like, wow. But now we're kind of seeing him like come back to earth a little bit. And so he's going to be a fascinating study in the offseason, you know, not to keep harping back to 2022, but like, we saw the best of Gausman and then we saw him kind of, you know, fade. And like, where's the price for next season? And like, what's the projection for next season? It's going to be really interesting to see what that is.
We are so excited for 2022 at Leading Off. It is hard to contain. Mike and I were just talking off air before this. I noted that I'm the ultimate fantasy baseball nerd because at this point, I kind of am ready for the season to end so we can just have all the stats finalized and really start digging in to what happened and, you know, just kind of having them be set in stone and not constantly changing. We're moving on to the home run. Did I just hear a dog bark?
Yeah. I warned you before the show that was going to happen.
It did. Moving on to the home run calls of the night. Joe Pisapia pulled a head even higher. He's up to 33. Mike, can you fill us in on the rest?
Sure, I can fill you in on the dog barking too. So to this point in the shows, I've avoided background noise like garage doors and lawnmowers. But I told Tuma before the show, like, my mom was scheduled to show up at my house like at 9:20, and I have two dogs who are upstairs and we're definitely going to bark. And so it's happening right now. So home run calls. Joe, he who must not be named, Pisapia, unfortunately got another home run from Bryce Harper and is now up to 33 dingers. Smalls is up to 29 thanks to our good friend of the program, Ryan Mountcastle. Smalls also has 5 home runs in the last 4 days. So he's on a Dinger Dan Harris-esque streak right now. And some other home run calls. Turf Jurgensen is up to 28 after calling Bryce Harper. I'm up to 26 after calling Ryan Mountcastle, of course. And Wonky Penguin is up to 25 after calling Mike Zunino, who I think maybe 20 of her 25 home runs are Mike Zunino. So the updated leaderboard, Joe Voldemort Pisapia is up to 33. Dinger Dan Harris, who did not homer last night despite his hot streak, is at 31. Randy is also 31. Helpless in Miami, Lawnmower Man 4.4, and Go Cards are all at 30. Smalls and D. Gordon Liddy are at 29. Turf Durgeson and Derek from Texas Akak are at 28. I'm at 26. Wonky Penguin 25. Cat Fox 24. Raucous Tiger 23. And the Clown Prince 23. And that's the end of what we have on the sheet, although there are a lot more.
I'm trying to remember, who did Dan call yesterday?
Nelson Cruz, I believe.
Okay, I think that's it. I thought for some reason that might have been Freddie Freeman, and that game got rained out. But moving on to DFS, it's a huge, massive, mammoth 15-game slate. Kind of typical for a Friday night. Usually it's like 13 to 14 games, but it's a big one. There are, as I can see, a ton of aces on the board already. Mike, can you give us your favorites?
Yeah, so it's a full 15-game slate. The kind of interesting thing about this slate is there aren't a lot of like GPP arms that I love tonight. There's a lot of, like you said, cash game arms. And so this might be the kind of night where you have to lean on an arm that might normally be a cash game arm in GPP contests. You know, I'm a big GPP guy. But a lot of the lower kind of options that I would normally target in GPP don't either don't like the matchup or I don't like who they're facing as an opposing pitcher. And so you're probably going to have to pay out for a starter tonight. So Zach Wheeler is going up against the Mets. He's 10,700 on FanDuel, 10,600 on DK. Walker Buehler and Luis Castillo are kind of in a pick-a-side game, although, you know, you probably wouldn't pick Luis Castillo against Walker Buehler in a matchup like that. So it's pick-a-side is if you want to pick a side, you have to pick Buehler. So Buehler is 9,900 on FanDuel, 10,200 on DK, and Castillo is 9,000 on FanDuel, 8,800 on DK. So at that point, Castillo is not really enough of a discount to warrant going up against Buehler and the Dodgers. Logan Webb, my favorite pitcher, of course, going up against the Braves. He's 9,500, 9,800 on DK. Germán Márquez is probably, he'd normally be a cash game arm in this situation, but he might be someone I'm using in GPP contests or secondary arms. He's 9,200 on FanDuel going against the Nationals and 8,800 on DK. So that 8,800 on DK is definitely a price that I'm targeting, especially compared to some of the other arms. Like Dylan Cease is going up against the Rangers. He's 8,600 on FanDuel and 9,100 on DK. So he's even more expensive than Marquez on DK. And then two kind of like names I threw out there as GPP arms that I don't really love. And so this is kind of like, if you want to take a big swing at one of those really deep contests and take someone that like not a lot of people are going to have, and maybe you can win some big money. Chris Flexen against the Royals is 7,800 on FanDuel, 7,800 on DK. And Adrian Hauser is 8,400 against the Cubs on FanDuel and 7,100 on DK. But neither of those I would really highly recommend. That's really like a big swing GPP gamble.
Yeah, it looks very hard to get away from those aces, especially in cash games, as you're saying. The game stacks for the night, the Boston Red Sox against Keegan Aiken and the Orioles. The Red Sox need to do some damage this weekend. The White Sox against Taylor Herm, okay? And the Cardinals against Vince Velazquez of the Padres. Some lineup builders. My guy, Jesus Sanchez, makes it.
Sure does. And of course, Bobby Dalbec going up against a lefty, 3,100 on FanDuel. What are we doing here? That's free. And he's only 3,300 on DK. I don't know why Bobby Dalbec is not appropriately priced. I know he's not going to win the MVP, but I mean, if you look at what he's doing production wise, especially against lefties, that's just insane value. Like you said, Sanchez going up against Pittsburgh and Crow is 2,900 on FanDuel, 2,800 on DK. That's a great, basically free square, big swing on GPP contest. And then Tommy Edman, we have a couple of Cardinals, Tommy Edman and Tyler O'Neill both going up against Velasquez. Edman is 3,000 on FanDuel. Tyler O'Neill is 3,200 on FanDuel, and they're both 4,200 on DK.
I really, really like those lineup builders. There are some cheap prices out there for you to get in your DFS contest tonight. Mike, where are you going with your home run call tonight?
I'm going with Bobby Dalbec.
Okay. All right. Going against the Dan Harris strategy of going against the Orioles. We'll need to make sure we get Dan's call. Everyone else, get your home run calls in on Discord. Chat it up in there with us. We will be back on next week. Don't know the schedule just yet, but we will be finalizing, and you will hear from us again next week. For Mike Mayer, for the Barking Dog, for Brendan Thuma, this has been Leading On.